things that I thought were a part of my identity and what made me me was highlighted by my fears.
I was fearing the wrong things, which was leading me in a direction away from what I'm supposed to actually be doing.
So are there things that we should fear?
The idea of being fearless, it would be like me sitting across from the table, my fear would be like, you trying to get rid of me?
If I have a better relationship with fear, then maybe I'll also have a better relationship with love.
Maybe we need more understanding. Maybe we need more knowledge about a particular topic for us to not be afraid of it.
But I think that most of it is that uncertainty that you talked about.
But the only thing that's on the other side of the uncertainty and unknown is you.
What would you say to your fear at the dinner table?
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
What's up, everybody? This time around, the question I have, it comes from, it was an interview I was watching with Tyler, the Creator, and the host had asked, she kind of just said it randomly, but pretty much the question was, if you had to go to dinner with your fears, what would they say?
My fears would be like, woo, child. Whew. The bill is high. Yeah. Like,
and again, let me just preface it. The idea is with it, you guys going to dinner, it's like, your dinner, it's not, they're not about to, they, I mean, you're not about to be attacked in terms of like, nothing is gonna, that you guys are here to have a conversation.
A real conversation?
Yeah. So if your fears came to the dinner table and had a conversation with you, what do you think they would say?
So it's not even what would I say, it's what would they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If y'all want me to go first, I can, but unless y'all are ready.
I'm ready.
Go for it.
The first initial thought that I had, but then you said you won't be attacked. But the first thing I mm-hmm. thought was, use a bitch or stop being a Ooh. Bitch. Yeah. It's nothing to be, like, I'm yeah. nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
That's what it would say. Yeah. No, nothing. I'm not something to be afraid of. It's like Sully. Mm-hmm. Nobody's scared of Sully when you get to know Sully.
That's interesting.
He's cute and cuddly. a fuzzy little bear.
I just want to say, when I said that you weren't be attacked, I mean, they're not about to come over the table. You. Yeah, they're not about to fight you. You going to, you out at dinner. They may say something off the wall, yeah. but they're not about to swing on you.
But that was the first thought.
My first thought was what I said, woo child, the bill is high. Let me get the steak, the lobster. Let me go ahead. What's the highest amount of wine? The high, priciest, most expensive. That's the word.
Expensive. High priciest? What's the most high priciest? Ooh.
But you go ahead. Mine
was
take your fears to college.
Yeah. Mine would probably say I kept you safe.
Ooh.
It's like what you upset for? I did what I was supposed to do. You was afraid of embarrassment, I made sure you wasn't being embarrassed. You was afraid of going out there and X, Y, and Z. I did my job. What's the issue?
Your fears is Papa Pope. You ungrateful. That's what your fears is.
Yeah, that was the first. Those are some of the first words that came to my mind.
That's deep. Let me see. I don't know. Like, I really feel like they will run up the tab first.
Like, this is scary.
Right.
Woo, I need to eat something because I'm terrified. And put the lobster on it, dang.
Hold menu. And a special for tomorrow.
And then, on a more serious note, what would my fears say to me? They'd probably be like, look, we did it. And I'd be like, what? And I'd be like, we did it. Like you, kind of like you said, like, you know, we're happy, we're healthy. We made it to 30. We did it. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do nothing else. We exceeded the bar, okay? I think. Am I answering this right?
I don't think there's a right way. I just know, I know for me, when I was when I was thinking about it and I'm processing, I'm like, oh, a lot of my fears are going to sound like, like you said, Papa Poe, you ungrateful. Like, I did, like, I'm the reason you stayed out of trouble, X, Y, and Z. And it's like, hold on. I appreciate you for doing some of the stuff, because I, at the time, I was too afraid to do whatever it was. But, like, now it's like, I don't, this, that relationship isn't serving me anymore. And I also understand that, all right, you kept me from feeling embarrassed or feeling like I wasn't, whatever it was. But there was a downside to it that you just, you want to, you get, you're going to ignore. So if we actually having this conversation, like, let's actually talk about it. Like, yes, you, yes, like, you kept me safe to a degree, but you kept me safe from stuff that I didn't, there was never a boogie monster under my bed, but I was safe. Like, what are we talking about here? So yeah, that's one of the things that.
Yeah, I think mine is more of a lot like, but we're friends though. Like.
Hmm. Have you actually been friends with your fears? I'm just curious.
No. It was a toxic relationship, I feel like. Mm. I feel like my fear, my past self, especially in people pleasing, my fear helped me in those areas because it kept me there. So I benefited in ways, maybe not necessarily healthy ways, but I benefited in ways from being fearful. And I think that, I guess my fear benefited from, I guess, the way I was acting for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a give and take type of thing. It's like, well, you wanted to please the people, we please the people. Like, we did the things, mm-hmm. and we're 30. Like, we did it. We're here. But thinking about it like that, because even when we talked about having systems before, I think that was an off-pod topic. Conversation. I don't know why I said topic. But that's my system, that is my fear, was serving me in a particular way. It was helping me to be a people pleaser in a lot of ways. And it was helping me to continue to be ambitious but not pick a direction. It was helping me to be indecisive. So things that I thought were a part of my identity and what made me was highlighted by my fears. Yeah.
I would say the biggest thing that I think the dinner would consist of is understanding that the things that I guess was taught, or the things that I feared, are things that I should never even fear. Like, I was fearing the wrong things, which was leading me in a direction away from what I'm supposed to actually be doing.
So are there things that we should fear?
You shouldn't really fear anything. But I feel like a lot of times the things that we fear are the things that we're supposed to be doing.
Hmm. So you're speaking in terms of allowing the feeling to guide you towards them.
Yeah, our fears guide us to where we should go most of the time. But innately, the things that we're fearful of, we move away from.
Mm-hmm.
So, till Shiloh is out, I love what I'm taught to fear, and I feel what it's supposed to feel like. So the things that I actually love, that I'm the things that you are supposed to love, you're fearful of pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
And you love the things that, I mean, well, you learn to love the feeling. Once you experience these things that you shouldn't be fearing, you realize that is something that you was always supposed to love, or something that you always loved. You just didn't know because you were so fearful of it.
Mm.
And yeah. Till Shiloh is out.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, are there things that we should fear? I mean, I don't know if it should be fair. I think we should be... What I wanted to do with this whole thing was to get a better relationship with my own fear. So, like, I don't need my fear to tell me... To tell me that I'm afraid of something that I don't actually need to be afraid of. Like, alert me of danger. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think. Alert me of danger. And, but, I mean, you can also use it to alert you of things that you need to do, like you were saying. So, I think it's not even really a matter of, like, things that you should be afraid of. I just think the things that it would behoove you to be cautious of. And your fear can tell you to be cautious of it. So I don't think you need to be fearful of anything. And I think ultimately, it's going to sound a little bit morbid, but the main thing that everybody's afraid of is us going to the other side. And it's like, I think if you can grapple with that fear, everything else is never as extreme, because if that's really what everybody's typically afraid of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, one of the things that I had did to myself one of the days where I was like, so I felt myself being afraid of it. And I'm like, all right, so you're afraid I had this conversation, but are you going to die because of it? Like, is it that serious? Is this conversation that? And it's like, well, no, it's just, I just don't like how I feel in this scenario. It's like, all right, well, I mean, I could deal with a little bit of feelings to look for. Give me 5 minutes and I can deal with some feelings. So I think processing, like using your fear to show you, all right, this is something I want to lead into, but also recognizing that, like, if you can get over the biggest fears of your life, everything else kind of seems small.
Hmm. Also some good stuff.
One thing I was going to say is...
Go ahead.
Things only seem fearful until you get the chance to experience it. And then you can actually make a conscious decision of if it's something to be fearful of or not.
Yeah. I think that... I feel like we talked about something about along the lines of fear a few episodes ago. And if I remember what episode, I'll link it up above here. But I think that a lot of times the idea of things scare us a lot more than the thing itself.
Yeah, be our imagination.
And we don't, because of that, we don't get to experience it because we've told ourselves already to be afraid of it. So then we, ooh. Why did you do that?
That's what it sounded like in my head.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things in life that we just opt out of experiencing because of fear. And then we go around telling everybody else to be fearful of it when we've never even actually experienced it. And we don't know someone who experienced it, or maybe somebody did, but it's not necessarily something that we have to, I guess, change our lives around. Because this one thing, sometimes I think the fear is just a lingering thought. But then there are other things where it's like, well, I'm going to do everything possible to avoid this thing that I imagine is super scary. And I recently, for some reason, I keep seeing these wasp nests around.
You looked it up?
No, I'm going to. All right. I haven't yet, but I've seen, and I don't know, that might be a beehive in the backyard. But then there was one in our front yard. And then when I was at work, I don't know what made me look up, because there ain't nobody else looking up. I looked up and I saw, I think it's a wasp hive. It might be a beehive. Either way, it's over the entrance, like to get into the building. And there's two entrances. So there's the main entrance and the side entrance. Well, there's multiple entrances, but these are the ones that I use. And a part of me was like, okay, I'm not going to use this anymore because I know that there is this nest there. And why would I subject myself to that? But then I also noticed that every time I forgot and then I just walked out of that door, nothing happened. So I did tell them, like, hey, can y'all put in a maintenance request because this hive is there, but ain't nobody do nothing yet. But nobody has looked up. It's been like 2 weeks. And it's still there. And every time I walk through that door, nothing happens. So it's like something where I was literally willing to rearrange my day in the way that I don't use the door that's convenient to where my stuff is. I use the door that's convenient to the fact that there's no nest above it. And I just had to decide and just tell myself, like, you know what? If you face it, what is it? If you face it, you don't have to. What was the thing from the Game of Life?
No face, no trace.
That's a different Game of Life that they say.
Right. That's a different game. Totally different Game of Life. But yeah, it's just like, you don't necessarily have to. Whatever scary thing that you thought was there, if you face your fear, you're not actually going to have to face whatever that scary thing is. You're going to realize it's minuscule. It's super small. And now the front door is broken anyways. So, like, I have no choice but to go through this door.
Maintenance people probably scared of nothing.
They said, oh, I'm not about to fix that.
Yeah.
Or, I'm about to fix that. See that? You see that bee? See that wasp? Is that a red pepper?
But, yeah, so I think it's something fear. A lot of times we rearrange our entire lives and sometimes you just gotta walk through the door. And when you do, you realize that it's nothing happening. Not in a bad way, but like there is the stuff, the thing that you thought could possibly happen, it wasn't likely anyways.
Yeah, that's how I'm treating, if I'm sticking with the analogy, that's how I'm treating my fears. My fears will be telling me, hey, yo, there's danger over there. And I'm like, all right, I hear you. I appreciate your concern. Let's go see. Because there be stuff that it's like, there's danger. And it's like, nah, that's not really danger. They just not going to like you. Mm. But that's not really danger. They just not going to like. Or it's like, it's danger. And it's like, nah, you just going to feel a little eh after that conversation. But it's not really danger. But I won't know until I go see.
Right. Yeah. And even if it is like a conversation, a lot of times the conversation isn't even as escalated as you might imagine it be. Like, the response is, a lot of times people be a lot calmer than you think. That happens to me.
Yeah, I feel like it's like I don't know if it's a law or something, but I feel like when you go into it with very high expectations of it being dramatic, it ends up being very small. And in the times where you're not expecting it to be dramatic, it goes dramatic. And your brain's probably like, Hey yo, nah, I need to be prepared for the drama.
Yeah.
And it's never what you think it is.
Well, sometimes it is.
So what's your relationship like with your fear right now?
That's a good question. What is my relationship like with my fear right now? Mm. I think that I'm in a space of clearly identifying. Oh, I know what my relationship is like. So in the beginning of this year, I had decided that I was going to just run toward the things that I was afraid of. So anything that I found that maybe I was fearful of, I would just face it head on. I said that to myself. That's probably why I'm still walking under this wasp nest at work. I forgot that I told myself that, but I felt like fear was holding me back for so long in so many different ways that I was like, you know what, whatever it is, if I determine that it is a fear for me, I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. It might not be like within that 5 minutes, but I'm gonna face it sooner rather than later. So not in a few years or anything like that, but the next opportunity or in that opportunity, I'll go ahead and face it.
Mm-hmm. And then I got a question for Breeze, just for, because the first thing you said your fears would say was stop being a bitch.
Yeah.
Why do you think that would be the first thing? I'm just curious.
Because ain't nothing scary. Oh. But there's no reason to be fearful.
Why did I do that?
Sorry. Yeah, that's really it. There's no reason to be fearful.
So what's your relationship like with your fear?
It's a growing relationship. Mm. A lot of times my fears are a sign of where I should go, where I'm supposed to be going. Or it's, I'm fearful of it because I haven't experienced it yet. I haven't went there yet. So, but then, like, again, it's nothing to be fearful of.
Sorry. Oh, well, I thought you had something. But I did, but I want you to finish your thought.
Oh, that was the end of my thought.
Oh, okay. Before I say my thought, what's your relationship with your fear like?
I mean, I kind of said it, but I'm going to just to sum it up. It's fuck around and find out.
Oh. Okay.
No, but I mean, really, it's like, that's why I said, I appreciate your concern, but let's find out. Mm-hmm. Like now, it's like, all right, word. You gonna send me all this extra energy, all these extra vibrations, all of this nervousness. Cool. Let's go find out. So like, there'll be times where I'm afraid to send a message or I'm afraid to put something out. It's like, well, I mean, it could be bad, but if you're right, cool. I appreciate the warning. At least you warn me. If you're wrong, another thing, you never, it's like when your fears are wrong, your fears are never like, well, you know, that was all right. Well, you know, he was right. He was right. All right. That was my bad. Fears be like, word. You're like, all right, that wasn't danger. Well, there's danger on the next left.
Right.
And it's like,
put it there myself.
He was like, you were kind of wrong last time. You never said my bad. You just kind of just keep popping up here. Mm. So.
See, toxic relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think for me, when I think about my fears, like just me sitting down with my fears, it's funny because the idea of being fearless to me would be like, as me sitting across from the table and my fear would be like, you trying to get rid of me? You trying to get rid of me? And it's like, I mean, yeah, low key, yeah, but not literally, because I understand that it can be useful. So that's why I was like, I want to build a better just overall relationship. Because like, I'm not really trying to get rid of you. I know it sounds good to say you fearless, but nobody has no fears.
Babies.
We train to be fearful.
Well, I mean, I think babies do have fears, naturally. Like, I know people say that babies have the fear of falling, the fear of loud noises. Like, there's some stuff that we are naturally afraid of, but that's because we don't understand it. But a lot of the other stuff, I think, everything else besides the fear of falling, and like, those things are given to us.
I've had dreams where I was falling. scary dream.
Oh my goodness.
I woke up on the floor.
Oh my goodness.
When I was a kid.
Man, he was actually falling.
Yes, I woke up in the air one time.
Yeah, that happened to me. I fell off my freaking bunk bed. It was crazy. It was crazy. Waking up in the air, it's different.
Yeah, so.
That's there was no toys down there.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we had carpet.
So, you know, it wasn't no toys. Yeah, carpet is nice. Because I fall off the bed this time. I'm like, you're going to splinter. I don't know why that was so funny to me, but it could happen. But I had a question. I lost it.
We trained to be fearful. That's all I got.
Oh, I was going to say, to babies being fearful of falling, I think that's instinct.
Yeah. Mm.
That's instinctual. I think we have
even things, like something being loud. It's like, oh, that was loud.
Because it's a harmful, it's something that can be harmful to you. So I think instinctually falling and things being too loud, you know, damaging your eardrums. Our ears are sensitive. I think those are instinctual things. I don't even know that they're fears, though.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm not scared of it, but it scared me.
I'm not scared of it.
But this also has me thinking about, a lot of times we villainize our negative emotions or our negative responses. And I was going to save this for another pod topic, but let's get into it. And like the way that you were saying that you want to have a better overall relationship with your fear, that's something that most people don't think about and most people don't talk about. And I didn't think of that when you, until you said it. I was like, oh, okay, that's good. But like a lot of things that are negative or are seen as negative, once we see it that way, we're not working to create a better relationship with it most times, especially when it comes to our emotions, with sadness or with anger or with whatever, nervousness, all of that stuff. I think that a lot of times if we deem it as being bad, we run away from it, or we try to push it away, or we try to hold it in and not express it, rather than looking at emotions as just being a human experience. So even if it's like an instinctual feeling versus like the babies falling and stuff like that, versus it being something that maybe we were taught or taught to be fearful of, or we've a fear that we've developed over time, just looking at it differently. So what made you actually be like, you know what, I want to change my relationship with my fear? Because in my scenario at dinner, I'm still flabbergasted because she running up the check. I'm not thinking about no relationship bonding. I'm thinking like, hold up, we ain't doing this again.
Well, no, I think the main thing that made me think about that is like, if I think about it like they're a person staying at, maybe they're a neighbor or we're staying in the same house. Like, if you going to be here regardless, let's not have a trash relationship while you're here. Because it's not like I'm going to get to the next stage and then things aren't going to make me afraid anymore. Right? I'm going to get to the next stage and then fear going to be like, hey, yo, you got to be scared of people's, what's in it, whatever it is, whatever the thing is, you got to be scared of this thing. And it's like, well, no, I wasn't. I got over the last thing. Why are you making me scared of this next thing? And I just want to have a better relationship with it, because if you're going to be in this house, like, let me not hide you underneath the floorboards and act like you're not there. And now you banging on the floor and my guest coming over and I'm out here trying to act like, all right, nah, don't worry about it. That's just don't step in that spot over there. It's just he get a little upset. And it's like, what am I doing? Like, nah, all right, cool. As opposed to me being like, hey, yo, he's over there. We good. Like, we're good. I understand. I appreciate your concern, but I'm actually cool. And I think that for me has been kind of helping me, because it's like, I don't know what I'm going to be afraid of next, but I know that this is probably going to be something that I'm afraid of. So when the time gets there,
we could work together.
Yeah. Like, nah, I'm not going to treat you crazy. I got coos.
That's good.
I'm a gentleman.
That's good. So what you think about creating a better relationship with your fear? You gonna do it?
I'm thinking about my answer. What do you think?
I don't have an answer right now.
I think that is good. I think if you have a better relationship with your fear, because in my head, all I keep thinking is the opposite of fear is love. And if those, let's say, those are polar opposites and those are the only true emotions, and if I have a better relationship with fear, then maybe I'll also have a better relationship with love as well.
That's good.
So if I'm using my fear as a guide, or I learn to work in tandem with my fear so that it can guide me to the things that maybe I'm afraid of but are to my benefit, or guide me away from things that I'm fearful of because I don't know about it, but I also don't need to know about it, then maybe I can also learn on the opposite end to do that with my love, and for it to guide me to the things that I love or that I want to do and also got me. Like, just use it in tandem. Use them together versus it being this competition of either I love this or I fear it. Not even that I hate it, because sometimes you hate things just because you fear it, not because you know it. Sometimes you hate things because you know it. But I think that the idea of changing your relationship with fear, it changes a lot of other perspectives in your life as well. Kirk Franklin had this song. It's called Hello Fear, because he had the album Hello Fear. And I love this song because it was literally like, excuse me, having a dinner with your fear. So it was literally like a breakup song with your fear. So the idea of not breaking up with your fear, but leaning in and learning more about your fear is something I didn't think about until today. Till this question.
I was going to say, I agree with the learning more about your fear. While you was talking, I started thinking about life being a collaboration, but not even in the sense of collaborating with other people. It's collaborating with all parts of yourself. So whatever emotion, anger, sadness, happiness, joy, fear, whatever, learning how you can use all of those things or how we can use all of those things to our benefit. So if you know what you love, you should lean into that. It's like knowing your strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So if I know I'm fearful of this, but I'm supposed to be doing this, I can spend more time with my fear so I can realize that it's not that scary on the other side of this thing. Getting to know yourself a lot more. That goes into the last topic that we had talked about healing. Mm-hmm. When you heal and you start to understand yourself a lot more.
I like that here.
So, yeah, just you, yeah, collaborating. Yeah, looking at life as a collaboration with yourself, with all parts of yourself.
I think that also, I have two thoughts. That also goes back to, dang it, I have one thought.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
The other one linked back to another thing that we talked about. Well, for some reason, the whole thought just slipped my mind. But when you were talking about everything working together, all of the emotions working together, it reminded me of the movie Inside Out. Mm-hmm. Because all of the emotions had to work together. And then even in the second one, I don't even know if I watched the second one, but I seen a commercial for it. I didn't watch it. I saw a commercial. But when they incorporated new emotions as the girl got older, it's like, okay, now you're experiencing these other emotions. They all still had to learn to work together so that you could be one cohesive human being. And I think that is something that, yeah, we're supposed to be doing. Yeah, totally.
I had a thought and it just disappeared.
I don't know why the thoughts are disappearing today, but I think that fear, man, I don't know. I really do think we villainize there are a lot of parts of ourselves. That we deem as bad or we are fearful of, that we don't know about it. Even when talking about the healing journey and stuff like that, there's a lot of aspects of that where it took a lot to face those fears to actually heal, or to face myself to actually start healing. Even just spending time with yourself or talking to yourself. There was a time where I was afraid to do that. And you look at those things as being bad, so then you run away from them. But if you look at, what if you just really looked at the stuff that you were fearful of? Not deeming it good or deeming it bad, but just looking at it and deciding if it's something you want to move toward or you want to move away from. And going from there, not labeling it all.
I was saying, I pretty much think that I think it's better for us to actually look at all of the things we're afraid of, because one, it'll show us like where our strong points are, where our weak points are, where we maybe we need more understanding, maybe we need more knowledge about a particular topic for us to not be afraid of it. But I think right now I'm thinking every time, everywhere there's fear, there's an opportunity for growth. And so using that as a gauge for where you should go and how you can grow going forward is something that I would like to do. Even if it's not just for fears, maybe it could be for some of the other emotions. But because it's almost like if you decide to label any of the emotions as bad, then you're saying that you're bad when you're experiencing them. Which isn't fair to you, because you're not bad because you're sad. You're not bad because you're afraid. It's just something that you're feeling. So I think it's better for us to acknowledge it and to not villainize the actual thing that we're feeling, because it's a feeling. We can't even control when we feel it.
Right. Right. All I was going to say was, and that ain't fair to her. That ain't fair to me.
Lonely Love Letters is out too.
Get the beat.
Go tap into the music.
Link is in the description, y'all.
So has there been a fear that you guys have been unwilling to face thus far?
Simply my biggest fear, but I think I'm working on that now.
Would you like to share? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't know. I don't mind sharing, but I don't know if I should share.
Okay, you don't have to.
I'll share it off camera.
I was gonna say, or maybe another question would be, I could ask, would be, has there been any examples of like you guys facing a fear and you getting something back from it? Like what fears have you faced that you've, what fears have you successfully faced and conquered? Let's put it like that. Maybe that's a better question.
Speaking to people.
What'd you get?
I know people. Friends, community, good conversation. Filling up my cup.
That's good. Okay. A fear I feel like I successfully faced. Two things come to mind. One is telling people, like actually telling people about the things that I do, like my music and stuff. I think I put myself in the space of they'll find it if it's for them or whatever. Because I was afraid to actually tell somebody. But I think that's underlying to what one of my biggest fears is that I'm working through now that I'm not ready to share. So that, and then also performing. I think I'm still working on it. I think I need to practice a little bit more. I think when I talked to y'all that one day before I did that first Friday's performance, everything like clicked and it's not that serious. And so, yeah, I think, that. What about you, sir?
I say public speaking was definitely one of them. It was definitely one of the things, and being able to tell people, probably both of y'all, I'm still put them together, make a sandwich. It was the public speaking, and it was the being able and willing to look people directly and look at people directly and say exactly what I'm going to do, regardless if they laugh at me or not. So being okay with people thinking that I'm going to be crazy for wanting to pursue this thing, I was way more willing to just not say what I was actually going to do. Because most of the time I would know which I know the answer that you're expecting from me, and I can see it when I start saying something. Oh, right, and I see you get excited about that. One of my fears was that, like, all right, you're gonna look at me like I'm crazy. That excitement isn't gonna be there when I tell you what I actually want to do. So the more I started being able to speak in public and being able to look at people and say those things, it's been a lot more freeing for me, because I realized what I'm afraid of is a conversation.
Ooh.
Am I really afraid of this conversation? Am I really afraid that you're going to laugh? So what? If I'm right, I'm right. And then if I'm wrong, so what? I did what I wanted to do. So that's been the two things two fears that I faced, and I'm still facing, but that I've kind of gotten over the hump over.
I was just going to say, I don't think I've been fearful of saying what it is that I want to do. I think my thing was actually doing the thing after I said it, because, like you were saying, you got excited over this thing. I don't care about this thing. I said I was going to do this, but the thought, or me remembering that you weren't excited about the thing that I said I was going to do, now I'm like, but they want me to do this. So it's a lot easier to just go ahead and do this if I'm living my life to please others rather than to please myself. Mm. Now I'm in the business of pleasing myself. You know, bada boom, bada bam, watch out now.
Not watch out now.
Watch out now. That was funny.
That's not what I thought you was going to say.
I can't remember what I was going to say, but I definitely understand. So my new question would be, what's the fear in actually doing the thing?
Because the fear of letting the people down that I care, like, if I value your opinion, so I told you what I wanted to do, but what I wanted to do didn't light you up like it lit me up. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, maybe that's not the right thing for me to do. Because they weren't as excited as I am about this thing, but now it's like, hey, put my grandmother on the song. it's a hit.
Word. Yeah, I think that, I don't know.
Yeah, y'all ain't gonna tell me to stop doing my background vocals. Sequoia told me how to do background vocals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all singers now. They singers now. Mm-hmm. I miss Todd.
And I couldn't even draw myself. You mean I could paint myself now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Successful. It's funny to me, because if there's nothing to actually be afraid of, is that something that we all agree that there's nothing to actually be afraid of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's nothing
except for falling in loud noises.
Yeah,
but shout out to you, shouldn't be afraid of those. It might startle you a little bit.
Actually, when you get to a certain age, falling is very dangerous, as you can see. They say you twice a child. That's why when you get older, the Life Alert commercials, they serious.
But you shouldn't be afraid to fall.
That is true.
That's why you got Life Alert.
They come pick you up.
Push the button.
Y'all funny.
Dang, what if you got Life Alert and your doors is locked?
I think that happens. Yeah, I think they gotta bust down the
door. Kick in the door, wave in the
life alert.
Yeah, wave in the life alert. Hello, we can help you.
That's crazy.
But
now I'm fearful. Like, now I gotta pay for a new door. Like, was it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, they said I got 2 weeks to live anyway. Sorry.
What?
Nah, like, life alert.
Took a left turn there.
Like, should I just call them to come save me if they got kicked down my door?
Oh my god!
Then I gotta buy a new door.
But either buy a new door or your life
for two weeks.
I mean, just leave the door then. Just leave the door. You're probably gonna be in the hospital healing from your hip.
But what I was actually asking, now that I realize, what I was actually asking is, like, if we know mentally that there's really nothing to be afraid of, why do I still be feeling the fear come up?
It's the newness or the
unexpected?
The unknown.
She looked at you square in your face. Yo, she's
like, first of all, I'm still laughing about Fallen got two weeks to live. But then, in my head, I was saying the unknown, but I was like, nah, he said no to the other stuff, so it gotta be some completely different word. Then he said the unknown, and I just couldn't hold in my laughter.
It's the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen if we actually, like, we know exactly what's going to happen, but it's not a certainty. Like, it's not guaranteed that what I know is going to happen is going to happen because I haven't done it yet, and which means it hasn't happened yet, like, in reality.
I'm gonna need you to say that one more time and just put it on like 0.5 speed for me because right. You was on 2.5.
So it's the unknown. The unknown creates fear mm-hmm. because we know what's gonna happen, but it's not a guarantee that it's gonna happen because it hasn't happened yet because we haven't done it yet. So okay, we know that this is, we know if we do this. We know if we do A, B is going to happen. That's our theory. In theory, we know. And mentally, we know. But we haven't done A yet to get the B result. So, in reality, it's not a guarantee that B is going to happen if I do A because I haven't done A yet to prove my theory that me doing A is going to bring B.
And I'm asking...
which creates fear yeah. because it's not certain. Like, the certainty isn't there.
That's I understand that, I think.
It's the A-B theory.
Yeah, okay. All right, A-B, cool. But if you don't know either way, like, tomorrow, I don't know if it's going to rain if I don't look at my weather app.
Even if you look at your weather
app. Right, I don't know if it's actually going to rain. I'm not afraid of the fact that it might rain tomorrow or that it might hail tomorrow. I just kind of keep on moving about my day.
Might want to be a little weary about that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but yeah, cautious, but yeah. But that's not a thought that comes in my mind, right? I'm not thinking about the uncertainty of what the weather is going to be tomorrow. I'm just kind of, I mean, some people might be, but, you know, I'm not thinking about it like that. So why do I think about it like that with everything else?
Because we actually want to do those things and be good at those things. So us thinking that it's a possibility of failure brings the fear that we have that other people are going to see us as failures. That's what I believe. Mm. So I feel like it's the outside, the external things perceiving us in a way that we don't want to be perceived. Because if we was the only thing here, it'll be a lot easier to do whatever you want. You could walk down the street naked. There ain't nothing going to happen. It's just you.
So, based on what you're saying, fear is dependent upon other people. It's not dependent upon you. Because you were saying, how you were describing it was, the reason why you were feeling fear was because of how you were going to be perceived to other people. So if there's no other people to perceive you, in theory, you shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Mm-hmm. So once you stop caring about what other people think, it's a lot easier to not be fearful to do the things that you actually want to do.
Word. I agree with that portion. I was just more so to...
So it's A-B theory.
Yeah. No, but it was really because I was more so thinking...
Because of C.
Mm-hmm. If you add in C...
Because people be looking.
And C is certainty. No, I'm playing.
Yeah, hey, that's a word. The Zorn! We speaking in source. That's the A-B theory. You can't spell source without A-B. C.
But yeah, I'm just thinking about...
Watch out now.
I'm just thinking about, is the fear always what people will think, or is the fear based on the fact that you're aware that somebody else is aware of what you're doing? You get me? So, like, maybe I don't know what the other person is thinking, but I'm aware that they're aware of what I'm doing, and that's making me uneasy.
I don't think fear is always based on how other people perceive you.
Do tell.
Because sometimes the things that you're fearful of don't involve other people. I think in the way of self-expression, it does most times. But even if you're thinking about, if you go back to the rain scenario, me being fearful of if it's going to rain or not, that's not because of other people. Or, I mean, it may be because someone else told me to be afraid of it, but then that's something different. But, like, if I might be fearful of it just because I fell in the rain before. And I'm scared to fall in the rain again. So I don't think that it's always based on other people's perceptions. I think a lot of people's fears are based in that, and based in the, But I think that most of it is that uncertainty that you talked about. The unknown of if this thing is going to happen or if it's not going to happen. And it may not be a fear of what on the surface we talk about. Like, I might not be fearful that it's going to rain. I'm fearful that I'm going to fall. Because yeah. I can fall whether it rains or not. The rain is just...
a chance because it happened before.
Well, yeah, it's triggered by a memory at that point. Mm. That I remember that it happened in the rain.
So hearing you say that, it makes me feel like what we're really afraid of isn't even... It's not other people's opinions. It's the fear of how we're gonna feel in the unknown future.
And that was my thought that I forgot like 10 minutes ago. Yo. That was it. That we're actually a lot of times fearful of a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily always the event. It's not always necessarily just the unknown. A lot of times is that I don't want to feel this feeling, whether it be again or for the first time. Like, if people are scared to get their heart broken, so they don't get into relationships, or they just don't. And a lot of times it's based off of, like you had said the other day, oh, I got my heart broken when I was in the seventh grade and I never want to feel like that again. Or some people are like, oh, my friend got their heart broken, and I've never been in a serious relationship, but that looked like it hurt. That shit looked painful, so I'm gonna pass. And I think that a lot of times we are always, it goes back to like the love and the fear. We're always seeking out a feeling by what? This was the other thought. I'm getting all the thoughts back. Okay. This goes back to the episode, I'm going to link it up above here, where we talked about money doesn't make you happy, or money makes you happy. I don't remember what it was. But when we were talking about that, we were like, no, you want the feeling that the money is going to bring you. You're afraid of the feeling that whatever this uncertain thing could possibly bring you. Because it's like you're not even certain that this is going to be the feeling. But just in case, you're afraid of that. But you're not even necessarily certain that this thing or this feeling is going to occur. Even when we talked about having arguments or conversations with people, I'm uncertain of what they're going to say in that moment. But I know what feeling I don't want to have. And I know what feeling I do want to have having this conversation. So I'm preparing because either I'm like, yeah, I want to be amped up. I want to be... Like, I'm ready to cuss you out. We can go at any time just in case you want to go, because I don't want to feel like you disrespected me or you got over on me, or I don't want to feel less than in that moment, or I don't want you to make me feel like I was wrong or I'm the villain when this was your fault. So I'm preparing so that I could feel like I won this argument, because I know I don't want to feel that again.
So... I'm going to just throw out a random number. You know how people, they be throwing out 90%. So I'm going to say 90% of all fears are fears of feeling. So if you can deal with your feelings, in essence, you probably shouldn't be afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not afraid to feel any emotion, which goes back to what we were talking about, the feeling the fear, the all of the quote-unquote negative emotions, if you're not afraid to feel any of them, in essence, you shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Yeah.
Right? Am I just...
In essence. I think in essence, yeah. Because most times the underlying thing, because life in the physical is a feeling process. Our lives here is very much a feeling process. And like I said in the last episode, was that the last episode? I don't know. I said, Damani always be saying it has to get expressed at some, yeah, it was the last episode. You got to express it in some way. It's going to get expressed in some way, shape, or form. So your emotions are going to express or manifest in the physical, however it manifests. And if you're afraid of this feeling, even if you're thinking about what you focus on grows, if I'm so constantly thinking about how I need to get away from this feeling, then sometimes that actually brings that feeling closer to you. Or even when you're thinking about stuff like, I never want to feel that again. If you're thinking about a memory, a lot of times that brings that feeling back up and you get pissed off all over again. And you'd be like, I don't ever want to feel like that. I don't ever want to feel my heart broken again. I don't ever want to blah, 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 blah. And in life, you don't know what you're going to feel at any given moment.
And that's the scary part.
It's terrifying.
Is it?
I think it is. Just because a lot of people don't have good relationships with their emotions. So I don't know, or some people don't know what's going to happen if they get to that level of pissivity again. And some people don't know, like we always talk about having a little black box. Some people lock their emotions in that little black box. So if I open that little black box up again and all the memories come flooding back and all the emotions come flooding back with it, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be crying. I don't know if I'm going to be pissed off. I don't know if I'm going to want to start drinking. Like, I just don't know. And that's scary. Like I had said, I was afraid to sit with myself and face my emotions. And there was even, I can't remember what I was about to say. It was an actual time where it was like with my emotion. Oh, for me, I used to get called a crybaby and stuff a lot because I used to cry. I was a crier. So when I got older, or when I could stop, you know, letting my tears out, I stopped. Like, I didn't want to cry. You ain't catch me crying in no movies, no TV shows. Now, if you see me randomly crying now, it's because I let my emotions out. But now I cry at stuff and it'd be weird for me. But, like, I'm not about to cry in front of y'all. I would not cry in front of people. Because I was called a crybaby for so long. I didn't like the feeling of being called a crybaby.
So you did everything to avoid being called a crybaby. You just literally moved your life around.
Yes, exactly.
Not be called a crybaby.
Just like with the wasp nest.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It goes back to that. So yeah, I changed my stuff around, but I didn't realize a lot of that was probably manifesting in my body in different ways. And after doing that for so long, then it's like, well, I don't know what's about to happen if I actually sit in this emotion. Like, this is kind of scary. And I don't like crying. I don't like blowing my nose. I don't like blah, blah, blah. Like, feeling the things that come with the tears. I'm good. So
send it back.
Like, let me just take a nap. But it was because I didn't like that feeling. I don't want to feel that feeling again. Not the feeling of my tears coming out, because that was natural. That was my natural emotional reaction. That was my perfect self-expression in that moment. But because I was told I was a crybaby, then I'm looking at it like, oh, this is a bad emotion. This is a bad form of expression. And then it led to me not being as vulnerable and then, you know, putting up more walls. So I think the fear is usually because of the feeling and not because of the thing itself or the thing that we're telling ourselves it is.
That's good. That, hearing you say that reminded me of, it was a Bashar video. He was saying, well, everybody's afraid of the uncertainty, but the only thing that's on the other side of the uncertainty and unknown is you. So are you afraid of yourself is really the question.
I was. But I guess in some ways, yes. Because the feelings are a part of you. It's, we don't acknowledge it as that. A lot of things we look at as separate entities. But no, like, your emotions are a part of you. They're a part of how your body functions. So if you don't take the time to get to know that, it's not something that we're typically taught as kids anyways. At least we wasn't. So, like, if you don't know that, then I don't know what's about to happen. That's why people don't go to therapy. Were you going to say something? Oh, no? Okay. But, yeah, that's why people don't go to therapy. A lot of times it's because you're not ready to face your emotion or face that uncertainty of what might be uncovered, and that you changing your relationship with your emotions changes your self-awareness, which in turn can change your level of accountability in your life. And a lot of people don't want to take accountability for things. And I mean, if y'all on y'all healing journey, y'all understand what I just said. If you're not, when you get on your healing journey, when you get to this point, you'll understand. But it all shifts. And then you have to adjust your life at that point. But it's not in a negative way. It's not to avoid something. It's so that everything can start working in congruency. And you can find, like, you can be you. A happier version of you. So do y'all have any final thoughts on fear? And I guess this is my final question, and this can be y'all final thoughts. After having this conversation now, what would you say to your fear at the dinner table?
Sup.
That's it?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, it would be something similar. What would I say?
I don't even got the words. I just something along the lines of what's up. Yeah,
Nice to officially meet you. Okay, for me, I would say, "Hey, friend," and then I'd be like, "I would thank my fear."
Yeah, that's probably what I would do too. I would say thank you. I appreciate you. I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I would thank my fear for all of the hard work that she's done thus far. But we're going to change some things. You know.
You sound like a boss. That's like, I appreciate everything you've done. We're going to change some things. This entire building is going to be renovated. All right, you're gonna have a new desk. Your desk is not gonna be the same desk. It's gonna be in the corner.
Yes, that's
hilarious.
That's what I would do. I would as she ran up the bill. Yeah. We're gonna change some things. Well, okay, you can finish what you were doing till the end of this meal, but we're gonna make some changes. Man,
got to.
So that we can work better and be a happier all around being. Yeah, I think that's what I would wind up.
Like, I'm not kicking you out.
You could stay.
There's going to be some new ground rules.
I would just want you to know I'm on running. This land. I'm the captain now.
On this land. In this house.
All right, thank y'all for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. I'm Shaquille D.
Bob Martin Breeze in 10 Ear.
It's your boy, Damani.
And thank you guys for joining us. If you want to join in on these conversations live and early, because we do record our podcast at least 1 to 2 months in advance, definitely join our Patreon. The link is in the description below, as well as other things that we have going on. In the meantime, while you're here, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding!
And comment below. Let us know what your thoughts are on fear. What would you say to your fear? And what do you think your fear would say to you if you sat down with it at the dinner table? But we will see you guys next week. If you love this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked up on the screen.
Bye. Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, give me another J.
Get out my face.